quorum, so we'll call the meeting order and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call. See that Mr. Henry is here, Mr. Cofer is here, I'm here, and the Schmidt's here. Hopefully we'll have some additionals.
Through the chair, Mr. Hughes is on his way. They did notify him this morning, so he should be here shortly.
All right, we're starting off with the old business approval of the January 6, 2022 minutes.
Mr. Chair, I've reviewed the minutes and I move they be approved. I want to thank staff for sending them to us ahead of time.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. We're moving on to the review of eligible candidates for Inspector General position and selection candidate. All right, I guess I am turning this over to Ms. Moser.
Thank you, Chair. You all have in front of you big notebooks, and these notebooks contain all the information that you need to make a decision for the paper version of this search. So I do want to make mention that all notes could be considered public record, so I wouldn't write down any feelings. It's okay if you write down something factual about a person, but just stay away from how you feel about it. Just a little side note. The notebooks have the hiring procedures, the job posting, the job description, two matrices. The very first matrix is like an overview of the candidates. You can do a side-by-side comparison. And the second matrix is a little more deep dive. It includes information that the candidates put in regards to questions on their application. So those are going to be just two really good documents to use to compare side by side the candidates. When we have more people present, I'll talk about where the position was posted. But we do have a total of 21 eligible candidates. So it's a pretty good group to select from. We've grouped them by well qualified, qualified, and minimally qualified. You have a total of six well qualified, the three of them being veterans who moved from qualified to well qualified due to veterans' preference. You have seven qualified, and then eight minimally qualified. And out of the seven qualified, you also have four veterans who moved up from minimally qualified to qualified. So that that means that those veterans were due, they received the preference that they get by moving up into the next category. So at this time, we're going to let you absorb some of the information. I know we're waiting for Mr. Hughes to come. I would start by looking at the higher level matrix, the very top page that's listed, and then maybe your secondary matrix. And then if you have any questions about the candidates, we did make copies of all the candidate information. So you've got the cover letter, the resume, and application. If somebody didn't give us a cover letter, obviously it's not going to be in there. But you've got all of that information for each. And we also sent each of the candidates a form. We've run into an issue in past searches where another person may not be available for months down the road. So we thought that was critical information for you to consider. And then we've also got what their current salary is and what their requested salary is for the position, because sometimes you have to take that into consideration as well. So you've got a lot of information for each candidate right in front of you. And so we would ask right now, again, while we're waiting for Brian, that you start absorbing the information, looking at it. And our goal when we leave today is to know who we plan to invite for an interview. And that's going to be at the on February 28th and, if needed, March 1st. Any questions?
Yeah, but it may be directed at the chair.
Yes, sir.
When Brian gets here, are we going to go one by one for each candidate? Are we going to skim and everyone points out the candidates that they like? I'm just curious to see how the format's going to go.
I think we should originally review these, and then I guess guess it probably makes the most sense to go one by one to see if we want to discuss further about the potential interview or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. It's probably for Diane. Diane, we're on this matrix. You have listed the certifications some people have. Some places say NA, and one place says does not have any certifications. Should I infer something from NA that they're not eligible, or does that mean no, they just don't have the certification?
Take a look at it. I would interpret them as both, through the chair, I would interpret them as both the same, but they don't have it.
They don't have it.
Sure. Through the chair, just so you know, the CIG certification actually is going to be here this summer in Jacksonville. So if they don't have a certification now, they'll be able to get in. They'll be eligible because they'll be the inspector general to get in that class right away.
Thank you.
in Spain?
Well, that's great, all these smiles.
Now that I'm on my bottom right, I need a more bet.
You will pray. You will pray. Okay. Or Leah, Leah. Just a
little bit of something. Someone gives you a snapshot of all the information.
Thank you.
I
Question for Ms. Mosier. Under Mr. Knight, it says 170 includes pension, and then is there a reason why that says includes pension? I wasn't sure whether that was a limit or just extra information.
Current compensation.
Right. This would be, the current compensation. Let me just check real quick. I think it's because he indicated it in other statements. Federal pension, plus he works at Baltimore, so it's combined.
So y'all can let me know when you're ready to discuss. Seems to me that makes sense. Maybe if we start at the bottom, the minimally qualified section. Does anyone want to discuss Reginald Young further? Seeing none, Margie Shannon.
Chair, I didn't know before we went through this if we might want to receive some comments from staff. More from Ms. Goodman.
Oh, sure.
About
that makes sense.
Might help us narrow things down.
Okay. Through the chair. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about was the interview schedule, if that would be helpful. We recommend that we limit it to one day. And that's, you know, because we want to keep the integrity of the process. Once we start going over into a second day, you know, the questions can have a tendency to get out because the interviews are public record and, you know, we have people from the public in the interviews. I'm not worried about the candidates themselves. I'm more worried about, the other people that we, you know, have absolutely no control over, and it does become public record at that time. So we would recommend that you interview. Our schedule allows for 6 in one day, and that would be for a 45-minute interview with 15 minutes in between. I'm sorry. 45-minute...
Hour interview, 15 minutes.
Okay. She did the schedule. Hour interview, 15 minutes in between. And then what was the other part of this? The question?
Just didn't know if it might be helpful to have either you or Ms. Goodman go through... to point out particular strengths and weaknesses. of candidates.
Before we move on, just can I ask a question on the same topic before we move on to that? I'm afraid that if we say right off the bat we're going to do an hour and that limits us, you're saying, to six people, I'm not sure that anyone is willing to limit the interviews to six people.
I don't disagree with you.
So I'm not sure that we can accomplish everything. If we want to speak to a day and that's the priority, how are we only going to do six? Because I know I see more than six that I would like to talk to.
Through the chair, it's totally your decision. What we're trying to point out to you is that to go from basically 8:30 to 5 with discussion afterwards and selection, it would be 6. If you want to go through the night and do it all in one day, you are totally open to do that. We were just trying to give you an idea that if you just want to do it on one day, and we've got the day where everybody's calendars were okay for the first day, the second one's a little bit rough, but you can certainly go as long as you want and interview as many as you want.
But I guess my question is, do we need an hour? I realize there are a lot of us that may want to ask questions, but do we want to shorten it and do more interviews?
From my perspective, I don't think we need an hour.
I don't think that.
But I think 45 minutes would be more than sufficient. But yeah, I'm open to... Because an hour is a long time.
Yeah.
Particularly when it's the fourth or fifth hour.
Yes, sir.
An hour may be a long time, but I guess I'm stuck on just, do we have a base number? Like, if six is not, if you see more than six, we see 10, we see 12, we see half of them, we see all of them.
Well, we have 7 that are well qualified. I'm not sure that we don't interview at least those 7. But there may be some disagreement, certainly. So, but you're right. What is that base number?
Yeah, to the chair, I agree with Brian. I think we need to come with a number, whether it's 6, 10, or 12. I think we all should put a number.
Maybe. If we go through and we'll see how strongly people feel about being, this person being interviewed.
And I'm sorry, Charlie.
Yes, ma'am. Through the chair, one comment. Just typically, we've done 2 questions to each member, and since there's 7 of you, that's 14 questions, which is why we went with the hour. That's traditionally what's been done, but certainly if you're okay with asking less questions, absolutely. It's just that's how it was based on before, is everybody got 2 questions to ask.
Does that mean we can only ask 2 questions?
It has to be consistent, but you can do follow-up. So, but it eats more time. That's the thing, is 14 questions is traditional, and it's a good hour with follow-up, traditionally.
And I think it should be an hour. You know, listen to public comment last night for 5.5 hours, an hour ago. I listened to 5.5 hours of public comment, so I think it should keep an hour.
Thank you for your service.
That's a fair, thank you. I guess my question is about the efficiency of the process. So this is a lot of interested parties, and obviously we have very clear delineations of the staff assessment on a first pass, let's say. So I guess my question is, it seems like the goal would be to move from this very extensive list to X number and then to some finality. So is there not an intermediary step, and one perhaps that we even don't, it's spitballing, like doesn't even involve the committee members? Do you feel, staff, somehow that you did this review to get to this list with these delineations? Is there additional, if we identified 10, would there be a way to then really do something in between this meeting of us and the next meeting of us to say that 10 is really these 4 creme de la creme, or you think it's best for us to do that?
We certainly have our opinions. Through the chair, we certainly have our opinions. But we would recommend that you look at this list and really look at, and we could start from minimally qualified and just decide whether we want to address each one individually. But we do recommend that the well-qualified, we believe, are well-qualified. With the exception, we may want to look at the veterans a little closer because they've received veterans preference to put them in the well qualified. And so in our opinion, this would be your starting point, your seven, and then you may decide to whittle it down from there. That would be our recommendation.
I get it. And I guess I'll clarify why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. Maybe I'll help me explain myself. It feels like going from, what's the total number?
21.
Okay, 21 to X to 1, given the large pool, given sort of the importance of the process. The only example in my head that's remotely similar, it was an internal one, which was multi-departmental directors and myself involved in the chief resilience officer. We went from a large pool to a medium pool to a process, a very detailed process of information gathering to a final. So that, you know, four steps. And that was probably to go from a dozen to one. So just the idea of going from 21 to X to one in the course of two meetings feels different than anything I've experienced.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there any other comment on the applicants or any other questions for Ms. Deckler or Ms. Moser?
Well, I think it might provide us some assistance since we have so much information to have them guide us through the candidates. And I don't know whether we start from the bottom going up or top going down.
Well, let me ask you this. Is anyone on the committee that wants to discuss further anyone who's in the block of minimally qualified that you believe from your review at this point that you would like to potentially interview them?
No.
And that we just cut our list down.
All right, that was efficient.
All right, then perhaps maybe it is better to go one by one once we start with the qualified to the well qualified. Andrew McFarland, is there any input with regard to whether we would like to discuss about whether an interview?
I might suggest that we start top going down and receive input from.
Okay, that's fine by me. Then let's start with Mr. Blaze, Anthony Blaze.
I'm not sure what process we want to follow, but based on my review, I would be receptive to interviewing Mr. Blaze.
General agreement on that?
Ditto.
Should we vote on these individually? Mm-hmm. All right. Motion with regard to Mr. Blaze?
I'll move that we interview Mr. Blaze.
I'll second it.
You did your public comment.
You do have a public comment card.
Oh, okay.
Just for all of
it. Yes, sir.
Yes, Cardinal Hopper, address is on file. I want to fundamentally say that as when I review, and just like I've contacted a number of individual city council members, when I look at the IG, this whole bill is watered down. As much as you want to look at trying to maintain the current status quo of the IG's office, the direct responsibility of the IG is to find government funding ways. But when I look at cities like Palm Coast Beach, or I look at cities like Broward County, they focus on dollars and also the corruption that's embedded in our system. And one of the clear things that's missing is that when Crescent Biddy was on the council, this bill was designed to go after money. There needs to be a certain emphasis on creating more standards for the people that represent our community. I don't have nothing that's totally against the idea of bringing somebody, but I would like to see the language of the IG expanded to address all the inefficiencies in that department. I've done my homework. I've reached out to Councilman Newby, the council president, and I have not received a response on it. but I want a greater level of responsibility when it comes down to the IG office. Because if one of the things that I'm learning dealing with the that Florida Ethics Commission is that I can file a complaint, but the jurisdiction of it is on the local level. I can file a complaint, but I have to work even harder because we don't have the laws and the ordinance on the books to create more checks and balances in our system. Because if a lawmaker, like what they did down in Palm Coast, they slapped handcuffs on elected officials because they were doing things immorally and they took full advantage of those seats that they represented. So I want greater emphasis on looking at our laws because it's a watered down bill and it does not represent the people in this community, especially ones that we vote on.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any other public comment? This is, I guess, specifically related to the candidate of Anthony Blaze. Seeing no other public comment, any discussion beyond what we've had? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, we have voted to interview Mr. Blaze. Mr. Alan Baum is the next individual on the well qualified.
But one request, though, kind of going off of Mr. Kofer, if there's any candidate where I think Ms. Mosier notices something that we probably should know that may not necessarily be clear, can she let us know while we're...
Absolutely, and I would extend that invitation.
Yes,
Goodman also.
That's Goodman as well. Yeah.
Anything from either of you all, Mr. Bowman?
We do want to point out that he is a veteran who has moved from qualified to well qualified because he doesn't have 3 years of IG experience. So that's the one thing we do want to mention is that our well qualified candidates all have more than 3 years of IG experience. So he's a little less qualified than some of the other within that bucket. And you're not, you only have to interview the veterans that are well-qualified veterans. You don't have to interview everyone, including the non-veterans, that are in this well-qualified bucket.
I'm a little confused. So I was actually going to ask this question on this candidate. So am I seeing two or three that were moved to well-qualified from qualified?
You're
so in those cases, each of those three have some deficiency, for lack of a better term, or a missing qualification in another area, and then they move up. Question one. Question two, based on what you just said, say it again. So if they're in this category and they're a veteran, there's a mandate to interview them?
So if they're in this category, so there is a law, veterans preference law,
right,
and veterans have to be given preference at right each step of the process. So the step that they just received preference, three out of the four of them, by moving them from qualified to well qualified. So they're being considered now. And if you select a non-veteran over a veteran, we just have to document how the non-veteran is more qualified than the veteran. We do that all the time.
All right, so follow up on that. So the two qualified who are veterans, because that veteran status didn't move them into another preference level, they would not have to be interviewed.
So the two qualified, are you talking about Donovan and
Craig? Correct.
If they were minimally qualified, we moved them up to qualified.
I got it.
So another question in that regard. Them moving into well qualified did not prevent people who do not have military experience from being in the well qualified class.
Through the chair, no, sir.
Okay.
So then I think my first question was, Cheryl, you were eager to get in, and then I think we went down. Okay. It's about the three that had a bump up because of the veterans. And you want to speak to what was not there?
So, through the chair, if you look at the little template up above that Employee Services did, the qualified, we based it on if they had three or more years. So, for those that had three or more years, they were in the well qualified. The few that we're talking about, one had 2 years and the other two had none. So I just wanted to bring that up, that we went, because you had some applicants that really had significant years of service.
I just promised that I was going to just follow that.
Okay.
So the three, really, the deficiency, again, that's not a great word for this, but it's working for me, is some lack of the three-year component. The rest, in all other ways, they are sort of have a parity, but...
Yeah. Through the chair, because if you look at the qualify, there's a lot of assistant inspector generals and deputy inspector generals. I mean, you're fortunate you have a lot of inspector
generals. So it's literally 3 years as an IG, not in an IG, because they all...
Correct. It's as an inspector general. That was a delineator.
All right. Was there anything in particular that either Ms. Steck or Ms. Moser wanted to provide input on, Mr. Vaughn?
Yeah. Ms. Goodman, are you familiar with the Council of IG? I wasn't sure what it was.
Through the chair, yes, I am. It's the Council of Inspector Generals on Efficiency and Effectiveness. That is the federal government. So the council basically is. Of the ones that are not presidential appointees, there's 72 total. There's a bucket of over like 46 that actually are under this council. So they basically are the network for when investigations need to happen on inspector generals, for legislation, for training. The council is the network and nucleus for the federal IGs.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm back on a holistic on the top. So, obviously, you have extensive experience in a variety of ways with accreditation. That's the reason here. And you were part of this categorization. So, do you believe any one of the well-qualified could efficiently, effectively do the job based on your own experience, extensive experience in seeing all of the tasks?
Through the chair, the only thing I point you to is what this office was lacking was someone who understood how to be an inspector general. Sometimes those that are part of an inspector general's office are strong in audit or they're strong in investigations, and those that were bumped up, there's a lean towards one or the other when you look at their actual backgrounds. So I just caution you that they're certainly all well worth interviewing, but you really want someone with a balance of both on how to lead this office. If I were to give you any advice based on what I'm seeing, they need to understand both investigations and audit, which an IG would bring.
Do we keep these records or do they come back to you guys?
Through the chair, we could do either. I do ask, though, if you do want to walk away with the records, you have to bring the notebook back because we're not going to make extra copies. But I also mentioned, Brian, before you walked in, that if you make notes on it, on anything, it's public record.
All right. Any other questions or discussion on Mr. Bone?
I'm just pronouncing that correctly. Move to interview Mr. Bone.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I seconded it because the next thing I was going to talk about after we vote on this was is there any reason we don't see talking to each of the well-qualified people, and is there anyone below that line that we see worthy of moving up? Because ultimately I'm feeling like we're going to end up in a place where I would be in a place where I could feel very comfortable saying 7 is a manageable number for the next step, particularly when I have the opportunity to do more extensive contemplation of a very well-prepared background dossier. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my second is for essentially seven candidates on the list.
Yeah. Since we're on this, I'll just say it. There is one candidate on the well qualified. I'll just wait till we get there.
Yeah. Then let's finish this vote on the Any public comment? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None. We have voted to interview Mr. Baum. maybe Brian has a really good idea. Is there anyone in the well-qualified category that someone would not want to interview?
I would be inclined to interview the well-qualified candidates. And looking at the schedule, we have a generous lunch. We could chapter our lunch to 30 minutes and make 7 interview slots in one day.
The only thing that I would say is that Mr. Holmgren, certainly his background is extensive, but has not been in the business since 2016. Does that raise a concern for you all?
Yeah.
That was one
I was concerned about.
Ms. Eckler, any input on that?
Through the chair, I think you're all on the right page.
All right. I want to see, is there any motion then that would someone would like to make that we would interview all of the candidates on the well-qualified to the exclusion of Mr. Holmgren?
I'd move that.
Second.
Discussion? Is there any discussion in public comment?
Can I ask one thing?
Yes, sir.
We get requested salaries, and are there anybody who we may be, because of their expectations of salary, they're kind of out of our range?
Well, they do all fall within the range. And the well-qualified, the person who is requesting the most minimum, is Mr. Holmgren.
Because I know the next process is we have to negotiate.
I'd simply say that, the numbers based on the packet and what I've seen, even if a number were sort of above the current budget line, it's obviously a level of importance to the mayor and the city council. But I don't think any of the numbers are so far out of stratosphere that it's not a budgetable.
All right, we've had a motion, it's been seconded, we've had discussion. All those in favor of voting to interview all of the individuals on the well-qualified list with the exclusion of Mr. Holmgren?
Aye.
Nay? None? All right, we have voted to interview all of the well-qualified with the exclusion of Mr. Holmgren. I guess the next question becomes, is there anyone that is in the qualified category that someone would like to discuss as far as being pushed into an interview?
I would, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to get maybe Ms. Goodman's opinion on Cindy Kim. I think she kind of has an interesting background, certainly not as much IG experience as well-qualified, but seems to be an interesting background to me, so I was just curious as to your
thoughts on. Through the chair, I'm just looking at her resume real quick. I think my only concern is because you have so many well-qualified that are inspector generals, and because of the circumstances in this office, that someone needs to understand this role because there's a lot of cleanup that's been happening, but it's not going to end when I leave. So I think if you needed to go through more rounds later, if all 6 of those didn't work for you, then you could go to that next level. But I truly think based on the circumstances of this office, someone needs to really understand the role of what an inspector general does, because that's really been a hiccup here in this office.
Again, the caveat being, sort of a preliminary look at some paper, not at the full breadth and depth of a human being. But I will say for my part, when I look at a resume, although a very extensive and interesting collection of experiences, the most recent history certainly seems to be a little bit missing, sort of as we talked about some of the things that we know we're going to need and help this particular office succeed, given the situation. So I would not be inclined to add a spot.
Sure. Can Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone in the qualified category that you think we should pay any particular attention to based on their experiences?
Through the chair, I think you've made the best decision for your starting is to go with the well-qualified. You have some very, very strong applicants. I think you're good to stay right there for now.
What about Miss? What about Willem Bannis, who I see has been an inspector general and did not meet the 3 years, but has been for 1.5 years with the Department of Air Force?
Through the chair, again, I think, you know, one, he did not move up because he did not use his veteran's preference. Two, he's under the three-year mark. I mean, he has 1.5 years. It's fairly recent, but not as extensive as your others that you've already agreed to interview. So from that perspective, I think if he didn't have a good pool, he would have moved up to the next slot. And it's just a matter of whether you want to do 7 interviews and include him, but he doesn't have extensive experience, or at least under the 3 years, which is why we've kept him at the next level.
But if he had provided, I guess, the veterans information, he would have moved into the well-qualified?
Yes, he would have.
Anyone want to discuss anyone else in the qualified that they believe we should
consider? Not that we should consider, but I was just curious because I thought his experience was interesting. Do you have any opinion about Mr. Duff? Ms. Goodman, sir.
Through the chair, again, I think he's strong in audit. He's an assistant inspector general, so he's not been an inspector general. And you have to really read his nomenclature pretty carefully because you can lead itself to think that he was, but he was not. He was an assistant under the deputy, so he's a couple layers down, and I think he was strong in audit. I'd have to read him again, but
yeah, that's why I want your opinion because it was hard to kind of
you're correct.
Thank you.
I think we need to note that I live by deciding to interview this group of six. It's not like an elimination of the rest of the people.
No, certainly.
I've been through this process before.
Right. Yes.
That's the board's one round.
Well, so everyone else is going to try and get it.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Then, are we then settled on that we are going to...
Perhaps it's premature to say this, but I'm just very grateful to staff, and because Spoiler Bridges is a pretty impressive group of people that were put together in a very good system of preparing us for ranking them and thinking about them, so I appreciate that.
Unless we have any guests.
Can I chime in on one interview?
Yeah, come on.
Yes, Colonel Oliver. Address is on file. As I look at the list, I'm more interested in the well-qualified individuals. And when I look at individuals' background, I want people that can basically understand government as, in a sense. And you got two people that I feel like I'm comfortable with. David Neal, I can't get his last name out. He's somebody that I would like to see be considered, but that's your choice. But another particular person would be David Harper. Is another person that I would like for you to consider. Because I want somebody not in one particular function who understands government, but also has that real critique that is necessary in making sure that this department operates in a functional manner. You know, you can go military based on our economics, but in our community, but we need people who have institutional knowledge. And when they come in, you ain't got to really hold their hand and babysit. they have that risk.
To clarify for you, I don't mean to interrupt, but we agree with what you have said as far as the two people you just mentioned. We agree that we should interview them.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you.
All right, so just to be clear, we have voted to interview Mr. Glaze, Mr. Baum, Mr. Harper, Mr. Lassell, Mr. McClintock, and Charles McCullough. Is there anybody else, any other discussion about interviews that we'd like to have at this time? Well, that is six people, and that actually fits out perfectly. So what appears to be, our interviews will be set for Monday, February 28th, starting at 8:30 through 4:45.
And then discussion after.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Is there any, I doubt we talked to everybody travel, but is there any foreseeable issue with travel or budget or anything?
Through the chair, as you know, our budget is very tiny. With the six, we'll try to put $500 a piece. I mean, we'll do our best to try to make that work. It's a very tight budget, but I think if we stay with $500 for reimbursement for travel for the six, we should be okay. We're close.
All right, well, I assume Mr. Nibby would agree with me that we're prepared to collaborate in our budgetary lane if needed to. I don't want to leave somebody interviewed because we had to pay another $100 for another dollar.
Do we have to? I only asked you guys because we voted to limit that. So if that happens, do we need to do anything to compensate for that?
So, Mr. Hager is correct. You all did vote at the last meeting to limit it. If you would like to take a vote to increase that limit, an additional amount, and then give staff direction to try to stay as close to that original limit as possible, that would be okay. Just so it's on the record that you did discuss it and provided for a slightly increased amount.
I would move the previous action from a hard class cap of 500 to a not to exceed 1,000. But please, staff, try to do everything you can to take care of the taxpayer money.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any public comment? I see no public comment. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. All right, so we're set for February 28th. Oh, yes, sir.
I have a question. Interview questions?
Yes.
We're
not sure where it was in the...
There's schedules in the back of the pocket.
Yeah. In your back pocket.
Oh, I meant interview.
Yes. So there are some next steps through the chair if I just may address those. So I did want to mention to you that we did social media checks on all the top candidates, and there was nothing that would rise to the level of, hey, you really have to worry about this person. We're going to be conducting reference checks. And we'll have those completed prior to the interviews. We'll let you know, probably individually, whether there's any concerns about any of the people that... And normally, from reference checks, we don't really find anything. It's mostly social media that we might find something. We will be working on the interview questions. We've already had a meeting, and we have a preliminary list. And we'll be I will be in touch with each of you, as you heard. She'll mention that we plan to have you each ask two questions. You can certainly do follow-ups, but we will have a list that you may have a preference as to what you ask on that list, or you may want to tweak something, or you may say, hey, you know, I really don't like this question. I really want this one asked. So I'll be working with each of you prior to the 28th to have a list compiled.
Thank you.
Individually.
Will you do the chair? Will you compensate for it if one or more board members ask the same question to prevent, or as I
can? For the chair, at this point, I don't need you to work on anything. You could have something in your head and like, I really want to ask about this, but chances are we may have already have that question down. So our goal is you each ask different questions. There's not going to be a lot of overlap in what two of you ask, because it's really about getting the most bang for your buck during that 1 hour. Did you want to?
Oh, sorry. Through the chair, how it traditionally did it is each of you would only get two questions so that we can control the interview, make sure for transparency purposes, but also to protect the interview process. Each of you that Diane will work with to make sure you like the question, we can tweak it and all that, but you each would get those two questions, and then at the interview that day, you will have a packet that has all the questions, but your name will be next to the ones that you've kind of worked with together.
Can I just drill down on that? I think I know the answer to this. I'm asking publicly. The goal is a consistent, uniform list of interview questions that each candidate has exactly the same question asked. Our process can then dive into some tangential information that is typical of interview process, correct. But there's a legal component of protecting. Yeah, got it.
So if I remember correctly, you asked the same question. Yep. Each candidate.
Correct.
That's the way of saying it.
Yes.
Any other questions?
I do. Mr. Chair, is there a need then to keep March 1st available? I only ask because I had to get coverage for something. I'm happy to keep it free, but I just thought I would ask if we need to keep it free in case discussion
goes wrong. I don't see why we would. That hour set aside. We got six candidates in February, Monday 20th.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And thank you. I have one follow-up to that. So, no promises, but if we find someone of the six that we like that we're in discussion, what's the process after that we've established?
So, under the code, there's a provision that provides that once you all have a selected candidate that you intend to recommend for council confirmation, the chair would then be responsible on behalf of the committee to negotiate the appropriate contract and salary with that candidate, and then you would move them forward for confirmation to city council.
I have a question for you. I know I'm going through the same process with the director, council director, so I know Diane said we need some a candidate, also alternate, but we're not doing that this time? Mm-hmm. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah, that's typical. You would have a selection because things can fall through with that first candidate for sure. And then that way the chair would have the ability to go to that alternate that you have already selected to negotiate with that person.
Yes, sir.
So for clarity for me, that it's kind of open-ended because obviously we have to do the interviews, but the potential is, and there's a likelihood to it, that we would find a strong candidate and a secondary as alternate and move that at that meeting. Mm-hmm. But we're not bound to that if we arrived at some impasse.
Correct, and I think there's discussion time set up for you to kind of work through that after all the interviews are completed. And you may decide that you want to have another alternate, so one, two, and three selected, just to make sure that you have a sufficient list so that you don't have to necessarily reconvene to pick additional alternates or start the process over again.
And we're allowed to keep our binders as long as we bring them with us.
Bring them back.
You can. I might be making you different binders that are little less.
Oh, actually, yeah. That would be, I guess, two-thirds of them we don't need.
Got it. Because we don't need all the minimally qualified people. I might make you smaller binders, so you might want to give them back.
That sounds like a good idea. And if you could include the matrix also.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe I have one more question. I can't remember how long we contracted with this on February 28th. Do we need to have more conversation about that?
Through the chair, right now I think it was open part-time. I'm part-time now, and so I think we're okay, and I'm narrowing it down come March, so I'm going to try to hang in there for you guys in March as much as possible. But I'm part-time now, and I think it's going to work okay. During the month of February, I have some reports we've got to get out. My goal is to get a handful of investigations and an audit out before the new IG, so we can start a clean slate. But I think the letter's okay that I'm part-time, and part-time is fine for now.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any other comments from the public? We will adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
you're going to see a clear difference in leadership on some of those. So. Yeah, I'm excited, Dave.
Yeah.
And we have...